Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Hello and welcome back to the show. This is episode 628, and I am really excited to have my new friend Blake Beers here. Blake brings her experience from a communications career servicing Fortune 500 companies and a global marketing role at Facebook to her own passion project and company, Little Renegades, which was founded in 2019. Blake's mission to share tools that helped her navigate life drives the products she develops. Her team of artists, medical experts, and collaborators help make sustainable, beautiful, and useful products for families and classrooms everywhere. Blake hopes her mindfulness products reveal a new imaginative world for little ones to explore with their parents, teachers, and caregivers. Welcome, Blake. It's great to have you with me today.
Erin, thank you so much. It is a joy to be here. And thank you for that very kind and generous intro as well.
So I was saying before we hit record that my desk right now looks like I could be working for your company at a convention because I have a bunch of your products that you kindly sent to me. So why don't we first talk about these mindfulness journals that you created? Sure. We have gratitude, yes. Creativity, and outdoor.
Yeah, you got it. So, I mean, for starters, just to open it up, I think the purpose of all of these amazing products that you have in front of you now, Erin, are really different entry points for kids to start learning how to practice some of these very wise old techniques of mindfulness. And really quickly, the way we define mindfulness is really being aware that, you know, hyper, hyper present of what's happening right now in order to help regulate, in order to help, create more again, awareness of what's happening in the world around you and the world within you. So we started these products. The first one we actually launched with was this classic deck that I think, Erin, you probably have over on your desk too.
Yes.
And, and the purpose of this is really just an intro, an easy kind of accessible way to start introducing these ideas to little kids. So the big themes are around meditation, around sensory awareness, around body awareness, gratitude, and some movement such as, you know, yoga poses and different stretches. So we launched with that, and then we moved into the bedtime deck, which is kind of the companion piece, which,
I really love that one.
Yeah. And the purpose of this is really, you know, we know, and Erin and I were just talking about this prior to beginning about how tricky bedtime can be for adults and children alike. And so to have some resources to help really calm them and settle their minds before bedtime, it can be a really tough time for kids to really calm their minds and calm their bodies. So that's the intention of that work. And then, yeah, the three kind of ancillary pieces are these journals. And, the purpose here is to reach a slightly older audience. So, kids that are able to write or at least close to writing and can have a grown-up help them. But it's really a processing space for them. So if you think about the cards being more about the learning, this is really the processing where they can, you know, through creativity, through the outdoors, through gratitude, really begin to understand and process what's happening within them.
I love it so much. And when I was looking through these journals, I suddenly got a flash forward. I don't know what you would call it, but I obviously these are blank, but I was suddenly imagining if these had existed when my teenagers were little, much littler, and how cool would it be for me or for them to be able to look through these pages. And it's like looking through a time capsule.
That's it. You nailed it, Erin. My favorite product is the gratitude journal. The one where there's repetition. And it really does call for almost a daily diary, for lack of better terms, because the prompts, which are consistent day after day, are, you know, name three things that brought peace, joy, or love into my life. And then the other piece that's really important is what was tough about today. So really digging into the tough parts too. So kind of beginning to show kids, it's not all great all the time. Let's talk about the hard stuff. And I'm doing it with my six-year-old now. We do it before bed every night. And it is incredible. One, to have a time capsule of this time in his life. But what's neat too is we'll just kind of flip back to a random day a couple weeks ago and say, oh, remember that kind of, you got into that little fight with Erin? Like, that was hard. Remember that? You guys are doing great now. Like, to show progress, to show change, to reflect back on different things and how they've grown. Yeah, it's been able to serve a couple purposes, which is cool.
It's so, so cool. And you know, you're doing it now with him at age six. Mm-hmm. He's not going to carry, sadly, he's not going to carry very clear, crystal clear memories and a lot of memories from age six. Certain things will pop up on his radar and stick in there, but his day-to-day life at age six, he's not going to remember it. No. So for him to be able to look back on this time when he's older and he doesn't quite remember is going to be so priceless for him.
Really cool. Really cool.
But okay, so that's just a long-term down the road return on our investment of time now. But I think it's also, like you said, really good so that you can randomly jump backwards to a page and look at, wow, remember that day when that disagreement you got in with your friends? And look at you now. But do you remember back then how it felt like the biggest thing in the world?
Right. That's
and
right.
It's already not a problem already. So, that's I mean, there's so much value in that too.
That's right. Yeah. To show the evolution and to show that, you know, I really like in this particular, you know, modality, I think it's just so good to really bring light to the good and the tough things. I would say one of the errors of parenting a lot of times is how we really, really, when you ask any parent, what do you want for your kid? You want them to be happy. Of course, no question. That's, you know, everybody wants their child to feel good, but that's negating a lot of the human experience and probably indirectly bringing a level of shame or guilt if they do have those feelings. And so what I think a lot of this work is about is just recognizing the whole experience so that they're not so afraid when this tough stuff comes up, and it gives them a language to talk about it. It gives them permission to talk about it. And so specifically what you're saying about kind of addressing some of the tough things and then seeing that growth and seeing their own personal progress, it kind of demystifies the hard stuff because it's like, I can do this. Yeah, this is hard. It doesn't feel good. It's uncomfortable, but I probably can get through it. I've done it before, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, and I love that you touched on that concept of happiness. I think 99% of parents would say, what do you want for your child, for my child to be happy? And right. I really think of happy kind of like a cloud drifting by in the sky. I mean, it is an emotion, but it's fleeting. Okay. I would much rather my child know what joy feels like, because that seems deeper and more long lasting and not, you know, drifting in the wind like a butterfly. If your child is happy this moment because they get to watch their favorite cartoon or something, and then they walk to the bathroom and stub their toe this moment, now they're not happy. Well, okay, because their toe hurts. That makes sense.
Right.
But if we focus on that too much, we can induce shame or guilt or what's wrong with me. My parents want me to be happy and I'm sad right now. Am I doing
something wrong? Yeah, that's exactly right. You are so spot on. And it's a temporary state. It's not our resting spot. And so I think when we think about mindfulness, really the resting place is wellness and peace and calm.
Peace.
And calm.
Yes.
So that's our natural, it's kind of a neutral spot. And letting them feel at home there, so that knowing these, like, you know, these things are going to come in our life that are going to bring, you know, that happiness and excitement and humor and all these amazing experiences and fear and guilt and anger. Like, this is the whole mixing pot of part of being human, but our home space is a place of stillness and a place of calm. And that's what all this work is about letting them get really familiar with what that feels like in their body, letting them find pathways back to it when they do get triggered. You know, that's the work.
And, you know, I think little kids are so, they are like sponges. They're so receptive to these kinds of ideas. They're so open to them. They're so willing to try. You know, sometimes once kids are a little bit older, 12, 13, 14, if you're waiting until then, it's a little tougher of a sell because, oh, what is mom trying to do to me now? Or, oh, that's my crazy mom trying to push her stuff onto me. I don't know about that. So although I think it's never too late, and it doesn't mean older kids wouldn't be open to it or be willing to try. I think you have to be more creative about how you sell it to them. Little kids, they're just like, let's try it. This sounds great.
They're down for anything. And, you know, it's a great point to bring up that, you know, when I was researching all this work, when I got started, you know, and then also being a mom to little kids too, you begin to realize that, you know, they come here quite present. You know, so it's, you know, kids are very, very aware of what's happening in their world right now.
Oh, yeah.
So when you think about this work, as opposed to maybe a teen or a 12, 13, you know, whatever, where it starts to change and they start to get really into their minds, little kids are actually very aware and very present. So when we're doing this work, it's less about teaching them something new and more about helping them hold on and remember something they already know to be true.
That is so true.
And again, it goes back to that permission and that awareness of, like, you know, what you're feeling right now. You're so alive and you're so with me. This is home. I always joke, you know, my husband and I talk about, I feel like the mind of a child, a young child, is what we're all trying to get back to.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
when you see a kid that's just fully in the moment, or a dog, you know, I mean, other animals are great at this because they don't have this, like, insane monkey mind that we do as adults. We're just trying to get home to our five-year-old self that was so unbridled and so free of that incessant thinking. And so that's why I do think the work is important to start at young, is because they're so close to it. They're in it. So it's like,
so true.
Let's hold on to that. Because by the time, and you know this better than anyone, by the time you age and mature into adolescence, you know, the mind kicks in and it's a different ballgame. So
My daughter and I have, I've talked to her about this for many, many years. She's 16 now, and she's an old soul and a deep thinker and a sensitive one. And we've had the best conversations. Yeah. But one of the things I've always said to her is, children, babies are born fully connected to their source.
Right.
And life continuously, little by little, sometimes aggressively, chips away at that connection to source. And so we literally spend the rest of our lives trying to get back to what we came here with in the very beginning.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And I just happened to go on this long walk with my dog, and there's been so many, Eckhart Tolle talks about this with ducks. Like, you know, she's a COVID baby dog, so she's like super messed up and like doesn't know how to socialize with other, you know, she's like not a real dog. I think she thinks she's a human because she's only been with humans, all the things. We're working on her. So we go on these long walks and she's still, you know, running into, you know, she'll come up, and she's a tiny corgi, right? So she's little, and she'll come up to these, you know, bigger dogs, and she just like freaks out at them. Like, she's like a big Great Dane, you know, and they have this like altercation, like where they're just like, my sidewalk. And then I kind of, you know, pull away, and each owner sort of awkwardly just like, sorry, you know, I'm like doing the, you know, maybe tomorrow will be better. And we move on. And like within 4 seconds, she's back to just sniffing.
Yeah, gone.
Gone. If that were adults, we'd be like, stupid dog, you know, ruminating on it for the rest of the day. Like, oh, tomorrow I'm going to show her. I'm going to talk to the mayor about it. We need more, you know, wider link, all the things, right?
Yeah.
And I just think about, it's just such a funny thing to be around kids or animals, because like, that's what all this meditation, all this work, all the mindful, everything that we're trying, us screwed up adults are trying to do, is to get back to that place where we can just move on quickly and just not be so in our minds. So
that is a great analogy and a great story. It's so true. You know, this is off topic, but I always wondered, I think I read somewhere that dogs have like a 17 second memory or something like that, you know, like it's instantly gone. Yeah. But I always wondered, like, what do they forget after 17 seconds versus what they remember? Because they know where their food bowl is. They sure. know what the word treat is. They know what sure. walk means. So like, there's certain things that they don't forget, the important things. Well, that's sure. a good point, right? They remember the important things.
That's right. Yeah, the survival. Forget
everything else.
Yeah. And maybe it's the emotional remembering, you know, that's what I think is so impressive, is that, you know, they're able to just like let it go after seven, you know, like if they've been revved up or triggered. Yeah. You know, they can just, and Eckhart Tolle talks about it with the ducks, you know, if ducks come into each other in a pond and their wings flap and they get, you know, they kind of exert all this energy and then they just go on their way, you know? But again, we adults, no way. I mean, look at where we're at in the country. I mean, we can't let anything go.
So true.
A lot to be learned there.
So really, I think what all adults need to do is just observe children and try to be more like them.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
I think that would solve a lot of problems in this world.
Very true. They are our greatest teachers for sure.
Absolutely. So I was thinking that it might be fun to have you guide us through one of your meditations for bedtime, so that parents could really experience the wonderful things that you have created.
Yeah, you're so kind. I mean, I will absolutely do that. And I'll start with kind of why, for people that aren't familiar with what visualizations are, kind of what the point of them is.
Thank you.
So essentially, again, that crazy thinking brain we have, we're so literal. And what's interesting, and I'm sure we all have this, where your brain is what it, your thoughts are what are creating your emotional experience within your body. So, you know, if I get into, you know, a fight with my husband or something, and I'm thinking about it later, I will immediately feel that in my body. Like that will be, you know, just the thought alone, even though it's past, it kind of what we're saying, we wish we were more like the dogs and the ducks, but unfortunately we hold it in us and that stress comes with us. And just the triggering of a thought triggers a really uncomfortable feeling in our bodies. So one of the great gifts of visualizations is that the brain doesn't actually know the difference between what is true and what is fictional. So that if you tell someone a story, a really calming, beautiful story, and ask them to go there with you, the body doesn't know that it's not actually happening, but it will believe it. And then you can actually experience that within you. And so that's really the nut of what's so cool. I'm sure a lot of people that might be new to this have heard about guided visualizations, guided meditations, and it sounds so fluffy and weird. Like I'm going to go travel to a garden with someone, like, I don't know, this is weird. But the point is that you're actually allowing, you're tricking your brain into thinking that you're having this really lovely, calming experience and then really beginning to regulate and reset. So it's a place you can go to when you are feeling triggered as kind of a release or a place of calm. Long-winded way of saying they're really effective. And this is actually why children's stories are so prominent before bedtime. There's a reason this tradition has held true for hundreds and hundreds of years, is that, you know, allowing children to be calm and to go to a fictional place before bed is really relaxing and really helpful in terms of regulating their nervous system. So with that in mind, I will read, and I think you held it up. I have Brave Mountain right here.
I have it too.
This is the first one that I wrote, actually. And, you know, the purpose of this deck is, you know, I decided to use nature as a kind of pathway into, and a lot of that is just my own obsession with getting kids in nature as a place, a holy sanctuary for them to explore themselves in the world. A lot of it is just my plea for them to love and care for it the way that I think we all want this next generation to. So that was sort of the inspiration there. But this card is called Brave Mountain. It's really quick, and I'll read it to you guys now. So take a few moments to get comfortable with your little one. Deep breath in, deep breath out. Now look at the illustration on the card and ask your little one to close their eyes and begin this meditation. So I'll pause really quickly and say, usually it's best if you're just laying there with them in bed and they have their eyes closed and they can just listen to your voice. So you are the brave mountain. Imagine your body as a giant rock that stretches as far as your eyes can see. You are strong. You feel your heavy body sink into the land, and you are still and you are quiet. You breathe in the winds whispering by you. What do they say? You are brave. You watch over all the creatures that roam around you. You feel the soft clouds crawl across your face. You see the mockingbirds flutter into the nearby trees. You watch the ladybugs crawl across your soil. How brave you are to stand tall and protect them so well. So again, the purpose of that is for them to imagine that they are there. And you can kind of hear in it this repetition of the calmness and the relaxation and just sort of the ease of being, pretending that you are this mountain and visualizing yourself there, and allowing it to really ease you into a comfortable spot.
I love it. I could go to sleep right now.
And we're done.
That's a wrap.
Great chat.
It is lovely. And I'm thrilled that you chose nature as the entry point to mindfulness and meditation and visualizing, because I just think that nature is it. You know, it crosses all races, religions, denominations, political beliefs, countries. It passes all of it. It just surpasses all of it, because we're all human and we're all living on this planet and we all know what a mountain is and we all know what a river is and what a bird is and whatever other things there are out in nature. And so I think anybody can connect to the different things that you've chosen to focus on in these meditations. And it's just beautiful.
Well, thank you. And without getting too esoteric, I think one of the big things is with kids is, and I do think they come out back to, like, they do understand this when they come here, is that, I think where like a lot of the suffering happens is when we when we believe that we are separate from, so we are separate from the pack, that we're different, something's wrong with us, right? Mm-hmm. That's where these around 6-7 years old, when you start to feel the inevitable, again, you can't prevent it, just this separation, something's wrong with me, I'm not enough, I'm not lovable. Mm-hmm. And I think this happens at the individual level and this happens at the collective level. And a lot of this is the conditioning that we get culturally. But with the earth specifically, I think we come here intuitively knowing that it is part of us and we belong to each other. You know, it's sort of this interwoven thing that, and then I think something happens where we feel separate from it and we forget that we belong to it and we are connected to it and we will return to it. And so I love any practice that parents or caretakers use to just connect their kids, even if it's just with basic gardening or, living in places that give you a lot of access to nature, again, to help them hold on, to remember you're part of this. This isn't just, a place where that gives us infinite supplies to meet our needs. That is not the purpose of it. It's part of the collective. So anyways, that's a lot of the inspiration behind that work.
Well, I love it. And it just makes me think, I know this episode will air in December, which that's our next topic. But when we're recording this, it's just after Halloween. And the day after Halloween, we took our daily morning walk around our neighborhood with our dog. And literally, we spent the entire, and this happens every Halloween, sadly, we spent the entire walk picking up empty and unopened candy wrappers.
Yeah.
And some bottles of soda or water or whatever people dumped along the way. And it was recycling day that day, so we could just toss the bottles and the plastic and stuff into the bins that were people had lined up on the sidewalk. But if the people, and I don't know who it was or what age they were, kids, tweens, teens, adults, some combination, I'm sure. But if the people who were finishing this candy and tossing the wrapper in the middle of the street, if they remembered that they are part of the earth. They are connected to it. And in order for us to be healthy, it has to be healthy. If they understood that concept, there wouldn't be a trail of wrappers all around the neighborhood the day after Halloween, because we just wouldn't even conceive of tossing our trash in the middle of the street.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I think that's another reason why I love your products.
Well, thank you. We're trying.
Yeah. So let's move on to the holiday season that we are in the thick of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for those parents who maybe haven't done any kind of mindfulness meditation work or fun with their kiddos, I think this is the perfect time to start, don't you?
In terms of instilling these ideas during a high consumption season, is that what you mean?
High consumption, high schedule needs. You know, everybody's running and moving and high energy, lots on the schedule, lots of consumption.
Yeah,
I think this is a great time to start talking and practicing mindfulness, even with our kids and ourselves.
It is. You know, I am so ambivalent about the holidays, both as a business owner and as a mom, right? Like, I feel really conflicted by it. And I think that's okay. I'm just sort of okay with my ambivalence. But I think that because there's so many beautiful pieces to it, and there's so much tradition, and there's so much joy to be had, and memory and all that. I think where we need to really investigate for ourselves is those moments when we turn it into these highly scheduled, highly frenetic, overly consuming times, and how much we're slipping into that. Because a lot of that, you know, when I think of kind of at, I guess at a bit of a spiritual level, is kind of like, you know, there's two modes of being. There's kind of the sleepwalking, and then there's the awake state. And I think what we're all trying to get to is a little bit more of the awake state. And sometimes in, you know, seasons like the holidays or, you know, whatever it is, we tend to slip back into that sleepwalking where we just kind of go with the flow. And a lot of the flow, especially in America, is that it's just buy deals, Black Friday, you know, 1,000 parties, and you get to the end of it and you're just completely worn out. And it doesn't hit the original intent of, I think, what we all want out of the season. So, I would say, you know, I think that it's a great time to get one, really grounded in your intention for what you want the holidays to be for you and your family, and the values that you want to set and what you want it to be about. We've started doing for various reasons, we've started like making it really clear to the kids that, you know, both Christmas, and we celebrate Christmas in our house, Christmas and birthdays are, you know, 2 to 3 gifts. That's it. Like, and we usually, especially for birthdays, we like let them decide before. It's a whole thing. Like, they ruminate on it. They think about it. Am I going to get do I want the scooter? Or do I want, you know, the new chalk or whatever it is? And then let them decide. And it's kind of, it is what it is, you know, because I think there's a lot of temptation to just get on Amazon and start just buying a lot of crap. So I think it's a good time right now to just, one, set an intention for what you want the holidays to be about. Two, practice gratitude with your kids, right? Like, that's a great time to really think about, you know, it's, you know, especially with little kids, they get so excited about what they're going to get, but kind of saying, totally, that's super fun. What are we so grateful that we have, you know, and looking around the room, man, like, you know, you got that toy from Uncle Tate. That was so cool. Like, really just reassessing what we already have and the joy and the luck that we have in our family. Just building in some practices that calm everyone down too, because the kids feel all that energy that we're feeling too.
Oh, yes.
They pick it up, and you know, we all get stressed out because we're all trying to do all the things. And it kind of goes back to what we were just saying earlier about, you know, they are going to see what we model. And if they see us, you know, kind of running around like chickens with their heads off, they feel that. And that's going to be part of their experience too. So doing some of the breath work, doing some of the grounding exercises, it's a great time, like you said, to bring it into practice.
I could not agree more. So if parents would like to buy something very special and material for their kids and pick up one of these wonderful decks or one of these journals that's going to bring so much joy for a long, long time, where can they find your products and learn more about you and your work and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, oh, I really appreciate that. So we, the name of our business is Little Renegades. Our website is littlerenegades.com. We also sell on a bunch of different channels that might be easier for you. Our cards are all available at Anthropology. So if you prefer to go in store or online there, you can certainly do that. We have a lot of work on Etsy as well, which I'm a big fan of because they support local artists and kind of homegrown goods. So highly support or highly encourage you guys to look for sure at us, but definitely explore a lot of great other artists and small businesses there. And then also, if you want to support local, we actually just put up on our site, we're in 500 retail stores across the US, small businesses.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah. And we just have them all listed now. So if you want to go, which I highly support, or I highly encourage, go to some of these stores, your local boutiques. They've been so hit by COVID. A lot of them are trying to make up for a year's worth of lost revenue. You have no idea how much that matters and makes a difference for them. So we have a list of where we're at almost in most big towns or small towns in America. So try to go visit one of them, and that would really support a couple of us. So that would be awesome. Great.
What a great plug for small businesses. I love it. And I think it is so important because it all goes back to the fact that we're all connected and we're all a community, a global community, right down to our little local community. So any way we can help each other out, help raise our kids, it's all good stuff, right?
Right. That's right. Absolutely.
Well, this has been so delightful, Blake, chatting with you about mindfulness and how we can help our kids stay connected to their source and bring peace and calm and joy and gratitude into their lives. I think it's so valuable.
Wow. Thank you.
So I hope everyone will go and check out your products and find a local place where they can pick something useful up for their kiddos and really bring them a gift that will keep on giving for long past a plastic toy.
Well, thank you, Erin. And it is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for all the great work that you're shepherding and pioneering through all these conversations. It's really, really wonderful to see this work, all this work out in the world. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. Okay, that wraps up today's episode. Wherever you are in this world, I hope that you make it a very mindful day for yourself. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.